At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
Robert, it's a delight to hear your voice again today.
Well, it's a delight to hear your voice as always. We appreciate you taking time to be with us on the program this morning. And Corey, sometimes, you know, I get bored and I start looking at random stats. And there was one that I was looking at yesterday that I want your take on. You know, since the Titans have moved to Tennessee, they have not had a 4,000-yard passer. They've not had a receiver that's caught 100 balls in a year. Are either one of those in jeopardy this year for the Tennessee Titans? Could they finally have a quarterback that throws for 4,000 yards in today's NFL, which is becoming less and less difficult to accomplish?
It's funny you bring that up.
Are you going to tell us about when you guaranteed Will Levis would do it in year two?
Yeah. that was a bad take. That was a massive overestimation. But hey, Joe, thank you for reminding it.
Well, I wasn't going to do it, but I thought you were going there.
You didn't even.
No, I'm not going there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My bad.
Thanks for watching the show last night. We were going to talk about numbers.
That's right.
I set the over-under for Cam Ward last night for 3,400 yards. I don't know what the Vegas over-under is, but I said 3,400 yards. It's 200 yards a game. So, I don't think he'll get there. I think that's too big of a leap. I don't know how many quarterbacks take that big of a leap in year two. I mean, I know Joe Burrow, you know, was very good from the start. Then he got hurt, but then, you know, came back with Ja'Marr Chase and had monster numbers. I know Josh Allen, you know, year one to year two to year three was a massive difference. And, you know, there's a lot that could be better with Cam Ward than last year. You know, number one, you know, the coaching and the plan of attack on offense. And, you know, we have to see what that unleashes. But I think to expect that much is a lot. You know, because Calvin Ridley has proved to be kind of barely 1,000 receiver yards at this point, you know, if he can stay healthy. You know, Wandale Robinson just had his first 1,000-yard season. And then, you know, you've got a lot of younger guys who are still trying to ascend. So, you know, is 4,000 yards possible? Sure. But to say it's going to happen, no.
By the way, I have the over-under total from FanDuel Sportsbook on Cam Ward. 32.50. 32.50 and a half.
Okay, not too far off.
Yeah, so if he plays 17 games, do you take the over or the under on 32.50?
I'll take over.
I'd probably take the over on that, yeah.
I mean, he threw 3,100 last year in an awful situation.
Well, that's kind of my point. So my 3,400, would you also take the over?
I think I would.
I think I would, too. Yeah,
no, I may not.
That's a better over under.
I probably wouldn't push it to 4,000. Like, you're talking a 900-yard jump at that point, and it's not impossible. But I wouldn't pick it. But I wouldn't. I wouldn't push it to 4,000.
Yeah. So everyone, you know, you, me, and Julian have all said the over. What number would you have to get to start being scared to take the over?
I think for me, probably about 36, somewhere around there. I'd be like, all right, let's
dial
back. I think
that's reasonable. There's just a lot that's unproven.
All right. What else? What else did you have? What other over-unders did you have?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. Receiving yards, we had Carnell Tate at 800 with five touchdowns.
Okay.
Over.
Over. How much over? You think way over?
No, but
okay.
I think he's going to flirt with a 1,000-yard season like A.J. Brown did as a rookie.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say an A.J. Brown-like season.
Well, I don't – I mean, that was a 52-catch, 20.2 per catch wow season, right? But maybe flirt with a 1,000 in a little less dynamic way.
I think I had Wandell Robinson also at 800, but only three touchdowns.
Okay. That I could take. I mean, my question with him is like, you know, he's caught over 90 balls the last 2 years.
What's the volume?
What's the volume going to look like? And if the volume is that high here, does that mean that it's probably not going as well with other receivers? Or does that mean that they're just throwing the ball way more than maybe we think heading into this year?
Yeah, and is it a ton of short passes?
Exactly.
Can you name, speaking of that, because we were talking about the 100 catch plateau there, Corey, can you name the two receivers in Titans / Oilers franchise history who have 100 catches or more in a season?
Heywood Jeffries.
There's one. Well done. Run and shoot, baby. You're not going to get the other one. If you do,
I'm not.
Go ahead. Just try. But if you do, like, I will wash your car. Hand wash your car and wax it.
Drew Eller.
It's a good guess, but no.
Charlie Hennigan in 1964.
You know, I've heard of that name before. I can't say that I ever watched him play, but
Retro was on the sideline.
Yeah. Ripping a dart on the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. No,
so it's been a while is what we're establishing.
I care less about the 100 catch mark. Like, it's possible to have really good seasons as a wide receiver and not really approach 100 catches. I just think it's fascinating that since they've moved to Tennessee, they've never had anybody do either, right? Like, that's just – how many franchises is that the case during the same span of almost 30 years?
Well, the Chicago Bears are probably right.
They're probably in there, yeah. that's
just,
probably in there.
Just saying.
You're probably in there. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
So
– get out.
You're looking at
– sorry.
No, you're good. You're looking at – a roster projection. We were going over this earlier in the show. So Austin Mock at The Athletic has put together this formula that kind of like ranks the rosters in the league, and the Titans are at 27th. So I think a lot of Titans fans would hear that and they would say, well, they've done so much this offseason via free agency, via the draft, that you would hope there's a better return on it than the 27th best roster in the league. I just think so much of this, like the discussion, comes down to like the jump that Cam Ward takes and like what does Tate look like? Like, to me, if those two guys take or in Ward's case, take a jump, and in Tate's case, make an immediate impact, well, all of a sudden your roster looks a whole lot better if you've got good quarterback play and a legit number one option at wide receiver, does it not?
We've seen this over and over again, how good quarterback play makes everything a whole lot better. I mean, the last few years of Brady in New England, I kept saying, this roster is not that good. When they went up to New England to play them in the playoffs, the people in New England got all upset with me because I told them the Titans roster was better and it was a good matchup for them. And so you can see the level of elevation a good quarterback can be. That's what we talk about all the time. You know, that's why you need the good quarterback to elevate the team. And even if the team is good, you see how a bad quarterback drags it down. We saw how a bad game plan dragged down the roster last year. You know, that's why the last half of the season was so important, you know, with Mike McCoy and the offense that they ran, because we got to see that the offensive line was competent, that Tony Pollard, in fact, still could run the football. You know, and so, you know, we always talk about the NFL and that all these guys are talented. And it's true. Now, the Titans have won 12 games in 3 years. They obviously need an upgrade in talent. But there are things that have made them look worse, the players look worse, than they actually are. They're ranked 27th because that's what the results say they are. Can they make a massive leap in that department? Yeah, they can. I mean, what was the Commanders roster ranked?
It's a great question.
Preseason on Jaden Daniels' rookie season. I'll guarantee you it was probably in the bottom five.
Yeah, just like the Texans the year before.
Yes. You know, so, you know, and look, as a person who puts out rankings, it's not easy, and you could only do it based on the data points that you have. Now, a team like the Chargers, for years I have looked at their rosters and said, I love this roster, and I move it up higher. Yet they always seem to disappoint me.
It's true.
Yeah. Now that this particular exercise, it's going through each person, and it's like adding or subtracting a value or whatever. But you know, okay. that's where there are so many guys, and not just on this roster, on any roster, where you know young or were banged up or whatever. Like the unproven members of a roster can obviously make such a difference if you get a lot of people taking a step, right? Like an Oladejo or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, gosh, look at Jalen Harrell last year.
Yeah.
He looked like an afterthought on the roster. And then he gives you 5.5 sacks. I mean, did anybody have Chim Dike going all pro in the kick return game?
No. Right. And that's
Titans were probably ranked 31st or 32nd in the kick return game going into last season, and they turned out the best one in the entire league.
Right. So yeah, like if you have a great draft class, you're going to turn these rankings on their head. So quick question for you that Ed threw at us earlier, Corey, Ed from New Jersey. More to prove this year, Cam Ward, Robert Saleh?
Oh. For me, Robert Saleh.
Okay. Interesting.
Just because, look, he's been a head coach before, and it didn't go well. And not just the record, there were some other things that didn't go well. You know, wanting to seize coaches' cell phones and all those sorts of things. But, you know, when we see coaches, usually coaches win or they lose. That's who they are. There's not a lot of Belichicks that flounder in one place and suddenly are the greatest coach in the world at another. Because not a lot of those coaches get Tom Brady. But that just doesn't happen very often. It does happen. It just doesn't happen very often. So for me, you know, I like him. I think he's sharp. Obviously he's a great defensive coordinator, but we've seen for years there's a difference between that and being a great head coach. And obviously having good quarterback play is part of it. I still think Cam Ward's going to be a good quarterback in this league. I saw enough good. I know Jared is probably listening and saying he has the worst ratings in the league last season. And there are reasons for that. Some of them him, his, some of them not. I have expectations for him to succeed. I like Robert Saleh. I hope he succeeds, but I need to see him do it.
All right, Corey, last thing for you. How happy are you that we're not going to see replacement referees in the National Football League this year?
Well, you know, in a league worth absolutely billions of dollars, it would be stupid. It would be absolutely stupid to not be able to come up with some kind of agreement. And I know businesses are businesses, but that league is so flush with cash. I mean, come on, guys. And not to say that the referees – should be, you know, the richest men on earth.
No, they should make a ton of money.
They take a ton of abuse. I do think there should be.
They
more
have a ton of power. They have a ton of power.
Yeah, they can decide games. Which you know that's and I'm probably more forgiving of referees than just about anyone, understanding that they're human, and players and coaches make mistakes all game long, and to expect the referees to be perfect is impossible, but there are moments in games where calls change games, and I think they need to be much more cognizant of that when they make those calls. But I get that it's hard. I do. I get that it's hard. But you know, I think fans need to know that steadily incompetent referees are shown the door.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, they develop some sort of bench and have some options if you're a league like the NFL. Corey, thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. You know, Joe's a jerk, but, you live with your mistakes and I live with mine.
That's all right. Yeah. Joe one time on the show said that he would rather have Mason Rudolph than Drake May, so we all make mistakes.
That is true. And by the way,
And you
mentioned Stilly, what he's saying about, no, he's not saying that. He's saying, hey, did Mike Vrabel ever go to the movies in 2023?
He's a little, okay, I know you guys are going to go and I always do this, but so.
It's my fault.
I've given Jarrett a hard time. I'm like, you are completely fixated on that story. I mean, and I don't know if he, genuinely is or what. It doesn't matter. But so yesterday we're doing our streaming show, Sports Extra Daily, and we're 10 minutes in, and Vrabel and Russini come up, and we haven't really talked about them much at all. It's only a 30-minute show, and we've got other stuff to talk about. And we talked about it for nonstop for the last 20 minutes because the show director is a Patriots fan. And we were discussing. He thinks like there's no way that Vrabel gets fired, and I was just trying to explain to him from my 30 years experience doing this that most of these controversies only get worse. They only get worse. They rarely rally and get better. So it was interesting. I guess what I'm trying to tell you is interesting how I let myself get hijacked by the topic.
That's fine every once in a while.
Yeah,
that's acceptable.
Not every day, 3 times a day.
Thank you, Corey.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
We'll see you. Corey Curtis from News 2 every week at 8 o'clock on Mondays. We'll take your reaction to what Corey had to say. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at 102.5 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 102.5 The Game's Chase and Big Joe show will be broadcasting live this Wednesday at Nash Dogs at 1427 Robinson Road. Nash Dogs now serving their Old Hickory Cafe, plus catering, corporate events, food truck bookings, and more. Find out at nashdogs.com. Stop by. You can win tickets to see the Nashville Smash take on the Boston Butchers in Team Boxing League coming up in Municipal Auditorium on May the 23rd.
Meanwhile, Ian taunting me with some Joe Walsh riffs. Little funk 49 there. For those who don't know, I see what you're doing.
That's a good song.
He's 78 years old, by the way. Look that up. 78.
And someone on the text line was like, Toothless Joe Walsh screaming Rocky Mountain Way was just incredible. Very angry.
I feel like Bobby calling in made you feel better because he was like, concert wasn't all that great.
Yeah, but also like he saw them on the actual Hotel California tour 50 years ago. So it's like, okay, well, if you've seen him a bunch of times, I'm sure right now you're like, yeah, it's okay. But if you've never seen him, you might think it's cool. Oh, well. We'll never know.
Thanks, Katie.
Maybe they'll come back.
Thanks, Katie. It's not Mother's Day anymore. I'll rip you on my show all day.
It's actually pretty far away from Mother's Day now. A whole another year.
That's right.
Just rip her the whole time.
It's going to be a long-ass year,
long
honey.
Year, Katie. Look out.
I'm going to be especially annoying this year.
I had forgotten about Corey's Will Levis 4,000 yards take. Until you brought it up last segment.
Corey does a great job.
We all have our takes.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey does a great job with the sideline reporting for the Titans preseason games. There are occasionally slightly optimistic forecasts.
I think you just spent too much time around Ran that preseason.
Yeah. Blame everything on Ran.
Well, it was just – I remember they did the – it was – I guess it was that year. They did the preseason interview with Ran in, like, the box. And I don't think Corey was doing it. I think it was, like, Charles Davis and whoever was calling the game. But it was like, yeah, man, let me tell you. Like, I don't even know. Like, we got so many good players. I don't know how they're all going to get on the field. Like, just – it's amazing this roster we put together.
I got GMs texting me, like, my God, can I get your fourth corner? How is your fourth corner this good?
We checked every box. Like, every single box was checked. Like, all these coaches we hired first, like, we know we have a good coaching staff. Like, we know it.
Yeah.
Worked out well.
Charles Davis, by the way, he could be a little optimistic.
Yeah, he can.
But, what do you expect, right? I mean, it's the local broadcast for the local professional football team. There might be a little bit of optimism in August.
We all have our
takes. We'll all get there by August with this team.
I'll never forget Gabriel Bork, formerly of the Nashville Predators, had a pretty good series.
Throwback.
Yeah, against the Red Wings when the Predators beat them in 2012. And I remember, like, to the point where, like, Mike Babcock was asked about it after the series by some Detroit writer. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I don't consider Gabriel Bork a top six forward yet. But
may as well call him Ray.
Maybe he'll get there one day. But, you know, one of my takes was, like, you know, the next year that Bork was going to score 25 goals. He scored 9. And I think in his entire career, he scored 40. So,
well,
we all have our takes.
He did get to 25.
He did.
At some point.
We all have our takes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, some more than others. I can't remember too many of mine that were bad. But, yeah. I know. It's easy. It's easy. Hendon Hooker.
Is Mason Rudolph still the backup? In,
I mean, the Mason, to be fair, like, I have actual bad takes, you know, that are, like, not taken out of context that you could go to.
Just going by what the audio clip says. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
He's still the backup in Pittsburgh. They got 75 quarterbacks there, so, like, is he really the backup? I mean, surely he's not going to be the backup, right? I mean, they have, I would assume, Aaron Rodgers coming back. They have Drew Aller. They have Will Howard. So I don't think Mason Rudolph is going to end up sticking. I
mean, that is a lot of quarterbacks. Yeah. Now that you bring that up,
Drew Aller might get cut after one practice, but we'll see.
What round did they take him? But I have to double check on that.
Fourth. He went in the fourth, I think.
I believe that's correct. He went in the third round.
Third round.
So he's not getting cut.
Nah, you're going to cut him, huh?
Real quick, I just have to bring up Terry Nashville. A lot of great comments, by the way. Thanks, everybody, on the rant. But he said, I've heard of none of them, so that concert sucked. I'm like, you never heard of the Eagles or Joe Walsh or Don Henley or Vince Gill or Vanderbilt or Nashville? Like, he said, maybe Vince Gill. Maybe. I don't know. That name kind of rings a bell.
I mean, I've even got some sympathy for, like, the Joe Walsh, Don Henley, but just, like, if you're just like, the Eagles. Like, okay. Like, the Eagles? You never heard of the band, the Eagles? Okay.
Have you heard of Eagles?
The animal?
We saw a little – one of them got shot, apparently.
Yeah, it's a news story.
But it's okay.
Doing okay, though.
Yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Matthew from Jolton says, my worst take of all time is Blake Bortles will be a Hall of Famer.
Now, Matthew from Jolton's a Michigan fan, so you can – Matthew, I bet you've given out about 20 September Heismans to Michigan players. Come on. Devin Gardner, he's winning a Heisman. Taylor Lewan, oh, that guy's amazing.
Face of the franchise. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More, we'll get back into the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. The 615 Open Golf Tournament might be sold out, but you can bid on all kinds of awesome experiences to directly support Folds of Honor at 615open.com/auction. Have an unforgettable time while supporting a great cause as well. 615open.com/auction. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Another jam from Joe Walsh in the city. Thank you. That's the one I really wanted to see the most. That's the one that makes me saddest.
Go to the Sphere.
I might have to.
Might have to.
Joe, hang with us. Joe, hang with us, brother. You don't need teeth.
Take your vitamins, buddy. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Bruce to the program. Bruce, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Joe, I wanted to give you a slightly different take on Drew Aller, if you don't mind.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I think differently, and I'm going to give you proof, is that James Franklin is a legendary pro-style quarterback destroyer. If you look back at freshman year, Christian Hackenberg had a phenomenal year. Everyone was predicting to be the number one pick of the draft someday. 3 years later, Franklin had ruined him. Then Franklin gets Trace McSorley, more his style of quarterback.
Yeah.
Does a good job with him because he can't ruin that kind of quarterback.
Okay.
Alar's first year, 28 touchdowns, 5 picks, I believe was the numbers. 2 more years under Franklin, he ruined him. So I believe that 28-5 Aller is still in there. And I believe he does have potential to be a starting NFL quarterback.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it. By the way, it was 25-2. It was even better. 25 touchdowns, 2 picks. So only turned the ball over twice.
That's pretty good. No, it's an interesting thought. My question would be, and I'm not trying to be like a big James Franklin defender, but my question would be how? Like, how does he ruin, quote-unquote, ruin these quarterbacks? What does that mean? Like, what do you – and why would you be a ruiner of a particular style of quarterback? Yes, I think James Franklin preferred – the Trace McSorley types. He liked to, you know, run that type of stuff, use that mobility. But it's just an interest. Like, just tell me, like, what is done on a daily basis in that building, or what was done, what will be done at Virginia Tech to, quote-unquote, ruin the pro-style quarterback?
The only thing holding Jordan Rodgers back was James Franklin.
Yeah. Yeah, because I just don't think – like, I don't think – I mean, Christian Hackenberg was a huge recruit, and I don't know. I mean, he came right out playing well. It's an interesting question. I'm not sitting here saying you're definitely wrong, but it's just, it's always interesting to be like, okay, so what does that mean? Like, you know, you're taking reps. You're maybe your scheme doesn't fit them as well, but
no.
Ruin them? To me, if you're that good, if you're good enough – unless we're talking just clown college coaching, which is not the case. I mean, let's be real, right? How are you going to put all that on a coach?
It is amazing, though, like when you look back at this past year's Penn State team, and we had this conversation about Singleton, but like even their defense, just everything. Like to be as talented on paper as they were, to just be totally off the wall.
Well, I agree. Now, I'll also say that this is also a great example of how one game can do so much to a team that clearly is just too fragile. But if they survive the Oregon game, which was an incredible game, what, double, triple overtime, whatever yep. it was, if they come out and win that game, I'd like to see, because you lose it and it's all, it's, you know, whatever. Everybody's back to, like, what's Franklin's buyout? And then you go and you just completely crap the bed at UCLA, which, by the way, UCLA, which had a case as the worst team in the first month of the season, actually like played way better and had a lot of good games after that, right? But I mean, still, in the moment when they lost to UCLA,
Nico looked like Vince Young. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, like seriously, like it was actually an incredible turnaround. But the when they did it on that day, you're like, Penn State just lost to like one of the worst college football teams we've seen.
Yeah,
so it's over. I'd like to see the alternative reality of losing Oregon. But beating Oregon. But regardless, like it's always an interesting thing of this coach that, you know, ruins this kind of player. You know, especially talk about quarterbacks, and I'm always wondering what that would entail.
So are we?
Doesn't maximize them. I can be there with you.
Are we sure. surprised at the over under from FanDuel Sportsbook on Cam Ward that it is 32.50 and a half? Seems low.
That seems low. I'd feel comfortable with the over. Again, the health provided, because sure. that's part, I mean, of the thing,
always,
too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you always have to factor that into your calculation. There's a decent chance that you're going to miss a couple games.
I mean, I would say if he's healthy and he doesn't throw for more than 3,250 yards based on last year being – I mean, last year, as bad as it was for as long as it was for not only him but the entire offense – and he still ended up with 31.69. Like, if you don't get, you know, somewhat significantly over 32.50, I think Titans fans are going to be looking around and saying, what? What is this? Like, how did that happen?
Now, unless it's because they're road grading people with their offensive line and their running game and their defense is great, and you can win games throwing for 195 yards, like the old days. I mean, like, right? Like, it's just how do you get to that? But – yeah, you would think that he'd be in the mid threes. I would think
so too. I mean, I'm looking to see. I mean, Bryce Young's over under is less than that. It is 3,025. Is there anybody that's not even in the threes? Let's see. There's not. So Cam does have one of the lowest. And interestingly, I mean, Cam Ward's over under is the exact same as Jalen Hurts. So there you go.
Okay, that is interesting, and that's one where, you know, they do win games.
I found
with
one.
Him throwing for like 110 yards.
Who's the Jets quarterback?
That would be Geno, and he's not even listed on here. Oh. So there's that. Fernando Mendoza at 23.50 and a half, but I also think that factors in. They don't think he's going to play for like half the year. So there's that. Is Kirk on here? Kirk's not on here. The highest one I could find over-under is Dak, who is over-under is at 4,050 and a half.
Okay. And Dak, without looking
Jared Goff
at it,
is also tied with that, 4,050 and a half.
Yeah. And both of them have multiple. Like, they've done four, I think, probably quite a bit, right?
Yes.
I would think so. But that's kind of low. I mean, it is wild to think that, you know, like Tannehill in that incredible year playing every game, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, you know, 7-9 an attempt. I mean, that's, you know, if there's a number that I would look at, I mean, that might be the most important number. Look at the top of the list of these Titans quarterbacks and their season yardage. It's Warren Moon, 7-2 per attempt, 8 per attempt. Tannehill, 7-9 per attempt, 7 per attempt. Moon, 7.8 an attempt. That's your top five yardage seasons. Also great. Cam Ward last year, 5-9 an attempt. That's a very bad number.
Yeah.
Very, very bad number. You know, I mean, Tannehill in the 2019 season, famously, you know, was a 70% and a 9-6 per attempt, which had not been done since my favorite quarterback, Joe Montana.
We got to filter this stuff out on Pro Football Reference. I, you know, I clicked on the yards per attempt to see which number would come up the first. Well, it's Kevin Byard in 2018 who threw for 66 yards in attempt because he had the fake punt.
Yes.
Like six, I didn't even see the name at first. I was like, who had 66 yards in attempt? Oh, Kevin Byard. There you go. Good to know.
How about that? That was the Dave Vrabel special was coined.
Yeah.
It has been redefined.
Yes. Yes, it has. Yeah, I mean, 5-9 an attempt is – that's not good. And it's – by the way, it ranks 145th in Titans history, if you were wanting to know. But 5-9 an attempt.
That was a great lefty – yeah, no, that was not good. That was a great lefty bullet there from – oh, was that to Crookshank from Byard?
I believe so. Byard, if you're curious
– safety to safety.
Top five yards per attempt seasons in Titans history. Byard at number one, 66. Frank Wycheck at 2, 61.
Nice.
Antonio Andrews at number 3, 41 yards.
Wow.
Earl Campbell at 4, and Wycheck again at 5.
There's a blast from the bad running back.
Antonio pass. Andrews.
Yeah, wow. So here, Texter says, he destroys, this is James Franklin, destroys pro-style quarterbacks because he's unwilling and unable to adjust his offense to the type of talent he had. Again, I think that's fair. I think it's totally fair to criticize him on a lot of things, including that. But how does that destroy a quarterback? How does that ruin a quarterback? If that ruins you, quote-unquote, then I don't know that you were up to this. I mean, Drew Aller got through the season. He's drafted. He's going to be in camp. Was he was ruined? Or did he not, you know, was he not maximized? There's a huge gap between those two ideas.
I would agree. I mean, look, I would argue if you left Brian Callahan around too much longer, he'd probably ruin Cam Ward. So, like, I do think your coach can ruin it.
Yeah, like, so, if you don't give a quarterback a chance, right? Like, if you can never block for your quarterback, there's a way to ruin a quarterback.
Yeah.
But, I don't think that's what it was with Aller. He wasn't – I will see, man. Look, they were in a playoff game, and he wasn't playing especially well. They were in it. They were a winning team. And he threw a pick that's like I don't see how you put that on anyone but him.
Right.
Against Notre Dame, right?
Yes.
That's Franklin ruining him?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Final segment of the show coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Boxing fans, 1025 The Game and Team Boxing League have your chance to win tickets to see the Nashville Smash take on the Boston Butchers at Municipal Auditorium on Saturday, May 23rd. 16 rounds, 16 fighters going at it. Text the keyword FIGHT to the game text line at 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win. Again, that's FIGHT to 615-737-1025. I did not anticipate the 8 o'clock hour turning into ripping Drew Aller and or defending James Franklin.
Yeah, gee, I mean, I'm not – I hope it goes well for Drew Aller and for James Franklin. I mean, James Franklin deserves a whole bunch of criticism for, you know, for some of his big game failures and some of his, you know, goofy public stuff he's done, and there's plenty of, just saying, like, the, you know, the, I think when you try to take something like a quarterback, most quarterbacks aren't going to work out. Most quarterbacks don't live up to the hype. A vast, vast majority don't. So when one doesn't, and Drew Aller didn't this year, trying to put that on, you know, to take all that responsibility and put it on the coach, I think is usually probably a little bit misguided. I understand Hackenberg too. I get it.
Over under win total for Virginia Tech in James Franklin's first year is 6.5.
Okay.
There you go.
That would be little brother, my little Hokie grad would be okay if they got to 7. He's pretty excited about this.
I know a lot of Virginia Tech fans that are excited about this.
It's been a while since he was excited. He used to, you know, be on top of the world in the peak of the Beamer era when he was actually in school. But I think I like the fit, man, because Franklin has always recruited Virginia. I mean, that's one of the things he started to do at Penn State is take some of those top kids away from Virginia Tech and get them to Penn State. And so I know things have changed a lot, but there's still high school areas. You still need to dominate some good regions of talent, and I think he will do that there.
Tennessee picks up a win over the weekend in the series against Texas. On the baseball front, they win 2 of 3. Vanderbilt loses 2 of 3 to Missouri over the weekend. So not good stuff from Vanderbilt there. And as you pointed out earlier in the show, I mean, they may have to go get the automatic bid here if they're going to keep this streak alive to get in the NCAA tournament. We'll see how that ends up playing out. But that's a good result for the Vols and another bad result for the Doors over the weekend.
Yeah, it's a bad scene for the Doors. And they got screwed. You know, it's the whole thing is weird. I mean, look, I don't know, like, there's really – I don't know. Maybe there is a precedent, but I don't remember the precedent in terms of, like, the fog. I mean, the tracker said it was a home run, you know, and, but they ended up ruling it a ground rule double. Again, that doesn't win it for them, but it puts them ahead in the ninth and said they end up losing that. They're in rough shape. I think the 19-year streak is probably going to end, barring some dramatics in Hoover. They have done a lot of – they've had a lot of good trips to Hoover. So, I mean, it's possible. But the pitching, right, the pitching is just not there for a variety of reasons, and it's too bad because they actually have the power and the hitting this year that they haven't had in recent years.
Have you ever seen a baseball game suspended for fog before?
I don't think so, no. I mean, football, I've seen it. I mean, I always remember the Bears-Eagles playoff game where the announcers had to go down to the sideline to call the game so they could see across the field. But, no, I don't recall that.
I was just trying to think, see if I'd ever heard of that before.
Now you'd think it would, like, it's...
Guys, we got to stop playing. Nobody can see anything.
I mean, I guess it's like, you know, especially this time of year, like, why wouldn't that be possible here and there?
Sure.
Right? When you get
just don't know that I've ever seen that.
A warm front coming in, and yeah. But no,
can you imagine being like a center fielder and being like, well, I don't know where that ball is. And it just hits you right in the face.
Yeah, like a liner.
Yeah.
You know? No, I mean, it's, yeah, like, that. Like, how do you play that? Now, you know, you see the aerial shots, and it's like, how could you possibly play? But that's from far away. What was the visibility for, like, an outfielder standing there home plate? If it's not there, that's dangerous to play, right?
The pitching angle, like, the angle behind the mound, it's a pretty thick fog, man. Like, you can't see the plate. It's
like, well, that, yeah. So, so if you can't see the ball off the bat,
it's not good.
You can't play.
No. I mean, it's a player safety thing at that point.
Yeah. But it just kind of continues the, you know, because the tracker, you know, tracker said it was a home run. It just kind of continues this type of year that they're having, which is still going to end in the end include a sweep of Tennessee. That's pretty wild.
I'm talking myself into being excited for the Pistons and the Knicks coming up. You got Ian's Knicks, Joe's kind of sort of Pistons that look like they're going to meet in the Eastern Conference Final here. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, yeah. I'm not – you're trying to jinx the Pistons. Let's not do that, because if they lose tonight at Cleveland, and they did lose the other day, they lose tonight at Cleveland, and it's 2-all, and it's anybody's series.
Cleveland's got James Harden. He'll screw it up at some point.
He was good.
Yeah, no, he's good.
He was good in Game 3. I'm counting on him to stink again tonight.
He was good or made one shot?
No, he played well.
Okay.
He kind of carved them up. Actually, their whole offense late was like Harden with the ball and either switch him on to Tobias, who, you know, has been great but is not great defensively, or Duncan Robinson, and they carve either of them up and hit mid-rangers. So he played well. Hopefully that ends today, because I would like to see Pistons-Knicks. And I think the Pistons would get to the finals. The problem is Oklahoma City will sweep them. Like, yeah. I hope it's not that obvious. They're just the best team by far, which is too bad, because there have been some really good series in the playoffs. I've really enjoyed them, but it sucks when you have a foregone conclusion.
I mean, you have an NBA team that is one game away from sweeping their first two series, getting to the conference final in Oklahoma City. NHL team's already done it. Carolina won both their series 4-0, and they're already in the Eastern Conference, just kind of kicking their feet up and waiting.
But the cool thing about that is that's not a foregone conclusion.
That's true.
At all. But they're great. Canadians-Canes, that could be fun.
I said it after the show the other day. I think Canadians are going to the cup final. We'll see what happens. That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Next Man Up coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.